This interview was recorded for the International Bomber Command Centre Digital Archive, which owns the copyright for this performance.
My name is Rob Scott. I am a volunteer for the International Bomber Command Centre. I'm interviewing Mrs. Bessie Thomas. It is the 14th of May, 2018, and we're at her home address in Consett. Also present is Bessie's neighbour, Teresa Davidson. Bessie, I'd like to start by thanking you for agreeing to talk to me today. As you know, this is going to be preserved on the International Bomber Command Centre's website for future generations to hear your story.
Yes.
Are you happy for me to carry on?
I am.
Okay, lovely. First of all, Bessie, I'd like to tell me a little bit about your early life before you joined the WAFs, please.
Well, I was left school when I was 14, and I went down to the Considine Company to be a typist, working in the invoice department. And then when the war started, of course, I was still young. And then when I became about 18 and Dunkirk came a problem, I felt I've got to go and save my country. And so I went and joined up down at Durham. And we got word to say from Innsworth that I'd been accepted and would be called up shortly. However, I wanted to be a radar operator, and they said that there were no vacancies at the time, and so they would wait and call me up later. However, I still got word again to say, would I like to do another job? And so I thought, right, Clark SD, hoping it wouldn't be anything to do with the typing, and joined up for that. Then I got word to go down to Innsworth with my little piece of brown paper and string to wrap my civilian clothes up to send home, and did my square bashing. As I was the tallest one in the group, I was made marker on the parade ground. And I got my injections, and then, of course, we were posted, and I got posted up to Snaith, which was Bomber Command, and they had Halifaxes on at the time when I was there. And so I didn't know what sort of job I would be doing, but we just, there were three of us. One girl came from Durham, one girl came from Chesley Street, and we did shifts. So we did all sorts of different jobs. One was typing on rice paper to do for the beacons, and of course, sweets were on ration, you know, so we'll have a little nibble at the rice paper, which was very nice. And then we did shifts, did that. I don't know when I mentioned that bit about the shifts, but we did these 8-hour shifts. So we weren't all, the three of us weren't all on at the same time. And then I got the windows in parcels, which I used to go on the cycle around the perimeter to all the planes and pop a pack in for the airmen to drop out over Germany to disturb their radar. So that was another one of the jobs. Then I worked the epidioscope and they were being briefed, the airmen were being briefed for taking off. And, of course, they had the maps for the weather and the maps for where they were going to bomb. And then we used to hand out like a briefcase that they had the maps and things in, and aids to escape, which included maybe a a pipe with a direction in for them and a silk handkerchief, which after the war, you found lots of people had these silk handkerchiefs with the maps on. And they were all saying they're very rare, you know, very secretive. And so I used to laugh about that one. However, then one time I was in flying control and chalking down, of course, the planes going out and then the sad thing of waiting for them coming back. And in Yorkshire, the weather was usually, when they come back, very misty. So you had the flying control officers out on the balcony and doing the flares up to get them landed. And then there was one night, and I hadn't been, you know, there for very long. I was real, I don't know what they used to call them in those days, sprogs or something, used to say. And I was sitting on the desk and waiting to see, you know, waiting for them coming back with the planes. And then this airman came in with lots of scrambled egg on his cap. And so he was talking to the officers and that. And, of course, I should have jumped up to attention, but not knowing too much what went on in the forces at the time. And he came to me and he said, "Oh, you know, are you all right? And yeah, it's nice to see you." And I said, "No, well, the thing is, I have to walk such a long way from the WAF campsite to the main airfield, and I haven't got a bike. I can't get a bike." So he said, "Oh, I see." So the next morning, a bike arrived for me. So they told me, "Do you know that was Bomber Harris that was visiting all the bomber stations that night?" So that was really my time with Bomber Command. And then it would be about a month after that, we were told we were made redundant. So the three of us were thinking, you know, what can we do? So I said, "Well, I wanted radar in the first place. I'm going to apply again." So I tried for it. And we were all posted down to Yatesbury to do the training for that. And so we got trained to do what to do and look at the... Not like they do now with the modern radar, see the planes. All we saw were the electrodes running across the screen. And we got sent up to Scotland first. And I was up in Fraserburgh there. And just looking for aircraft either going or coming, ours or the enemy. And you just had to guess, really, how many aircraft you thought it was going out. And then after a while, I got sent down to Suffolk, went to High Street there. I was always on what they call Chain High, which was the ones, the other radars were on the coast for anything coming in from the sea or anything. They were plotting that, or tracing that, I should say. And while at High Street, I managed to trace a flying bomb coming in, V1. And it was coming, they were saying, "That's a good plot, Bessie." And it was straight for the station. I didn't even think, "Oh, you know, it might drop on us if the engine stopped with a turret. However, it went past and fell in a field behind the station, so we were all right. And then we used to do, for SOS, anybody, pilots coming down in the sea. Funnily enough, at the end of the war, when I was waiting to be demobbed, I met up with an airman who became my husband at the end. He had been in AC rescue, and apparently these plots that I was getting for them out at sea, he was going out to rescue them if he could find them. So, strange world, really. But it's a funny thing to say that I really was happy, enjoyed my life in the forces, and it all brought me up because I was an only child, and living in concert, it wasn't very much going on for me as far as I was concerned. So I have really had a lovely time. So after the flying bombs, the V2's rockets started coming over, which were really nasty ones because we didn't know where they would be landing at all. And so we had special equipment made overnight with the little radar screen, a very small one, not like the one that we'd been looking at before for the planes. And we only sat for about a quarter of an hour because you had your face right up to the screen. And if you saw a flash on the screen, we'd shout, High Street. And then there would be a film taken and that would be developed and sent off to headquarters, I suppose. And we only knew that it had been launched, but we didn't know where it would land. And of course, at the time, a lot of them landed in London. A lot of damage done was terrible. And I had an aunt living in London, and if I had a day's leave, I used to pop down to see her. And she would say, you know, they're not doing anything at all, Bessie. And I said, oh, they shoot me, because I knew what I was doing and I couldn't tell her. And I said, oh, they shoot, you know, they're not going to let them get away with that. However, at any rate, this went on, and eventually they found out where they were launching them from, so they were going to bomb them, I believe. I didn't know at the time, but they found out afterwards. And then, of course, it was on a trolley thing that they were being launching off, I found out afterwards. And they just used to move it around. That was why it was taking a while to find out where they were, really. But that wasn't very nice. I didn't like those. Weren't, you know, really destructive. So that was another thing that we did. And I've been thinking about that one. I don't think. Funny enough, the mechanic, there were Canadians that did the looking after the screens and the equipment and the transmitters and the receivers. And one of the sons of the one Canadian that was there got in touch with me after the war. So I'm still in touch with the son. Wanted to know if I knew his father, which I did, only by sight. And I think really that's all my memories. Very nice ones in one way, very sad for other things that we had to do with bombing and things. I remember while at Sneyd, it was 150 Squadron with Halifaxes.
Bessie, is there anything else you'd like to talk about or tell me before we stop this interview?
No, I think I've told a lot. Everybody will be tired of me.
Well, can I just thank you again for taking the time and trouble to talk to us about this. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Thank you very much.
Right, thank you.